Now it's time to study the Bible. It is encouraging to study today's passage together as it reminds us of our great God who created heaven and the earth. And the same powerful and almighty God speaks to his people like us through his word. But before we start studying words together, let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your every blessing upon our lives. We give you thanks for the work of the Holy Spirit. And we give you thanks for your holy word. So Father, as we study your word, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds through your Spirit to receive the message with love and faith. And also help us to be changed, transformed, strengthened, and encouraged by it. As I'm teaching your word, Lord, please be with me. Help me to be bold, help me to be clear, and help me to be faithful to your word. In his name we pray, amen. I have a good friend who organizes a movie night. And he sends an email with a list of movies, and then we vote for which movie that we would like to watch together. And we watch the movie that has the most votes. And for me, because of my other duties, I can't make it every time. But when I'm able to go, I always consider my vote very seriously, as I don't want to watch a poor movie. So I always go to the internet to read the reviews before I vote. And sometimes I find that some reviews are very harsh. For example, one said, "Don't ever watch it. It is a waste of your time and money. You will fall asleep." However, at other times, there are some great reviews. As one said, "You will be thrilled from the start to the finish. This movie clearly shows how awesome, amazing, and great the director is." And likewise, in today's passage, David is giving us his review, not of a movie, but of the greatest art, God's creation. And he says, the absolute beauty and splendor of God's creation clearly shows how awesome, amazing, great, and glorious our God is. As David says in verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge." And here we can picture David staring up at the night sky. Perhaps he is watching 1,000 dazzling stars. Perhaps he's watching a full moon that has different colors. Or perhaps he's watching the stars falling from the sky. We don't know what exactly he's watching, but we know that he's absolutely overwhelmed and impressed with his creator. Because he sees everything in the heavens and the skies declare and proclaim the infinite glory and power of God. And David says in verse 2 that this is happening not only night after night, but also day after day. Because during the day he sees the sun, which is speaking the power of God. And during the night he sees the galaxy and the vast universe, which is declaring how great and how awesome our God is. So David says, everything in the skies are a constant and consistent witness of his creator. This is because since the beginning of time, God's creation never or ever rests, but the heavens and the earth always speak and declare that there is a God who is so glorious and powerful to create all of those beautiful things with his mighty hands. Yet, please be aware that some people may be skeptical by saying, "Are you out of your mind? The sun, moon, and stars never speak to me about God. I haven't heard anything from them. Then they may say, please let me know which language do I have to speak. Is it Latin, Hebrew, or some other ancient language? And they may also say, where should I go to communicate with them? I'm willing to go everywhere, even to the South Pole or the North Pole. And in the end, they may say, I'm absolutely convinced that wherever I go, and whatever language I speak, I will never or ever hear from the universe about God. However, David completely disagrees with them. And he says, God's creation certainly speaks about the glory and the power of God. The sun, moon, and the stars don't speak in English, Chinese, German, or any other language. But their voice certainly spreads as far as the ends of the earth, so that all men and all women in every age and in every place can hear their words. As David says in verse 3, they have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet, their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. So here, David is saying, if anyone can't hear the voice of the creation telling them about who God is, they may have to think as to whether they are spiritually blind or deaf. This is because language and culture are not a barrier. Distance is not a barrier either. It doesn't matter where they live or where they go. As they look at the heavens and the skies, they can all hear the voice of creation telling them that there is a God who is glorious, majestic, awesome, and great. And David illustrates this point in verses 5 to 6. He says, God has set a certain route for the sun, and like the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and like the champion rejoicing to run his course, every day without fail, the sun rises and makes its circuit to give light, energy, and life to everyone and all living things on the earth. And no one and no authority can stop this. This is because this is directed, governed, and created by God, who is absolutely in control. As David says in verse 6, saying, it rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. So David wants us to know that the sun never or ever stops speaking about our Almighty God and His power. He wants us to know that from the beginning of time, in every part of the world, the heaven declares the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of His hands. I'm very proud of my daughter Grace. She's 20 months, and there are some proud moments. And one of these was, as you know, when she first said her first word, which was more. It's like, you know, more food. And I was still proud of her when she said her second word, which was no. It's like, I don't want that. But I was especially proud of her when she first said the magic word, please. So since then, when Grace wants her favorite biscuit or a special treat, Sue and I always ask her to say, please. And sometimes Grace says the magic word straight away, and she gets what she wants. But some other times, she doesn't say please, but she still wants to get her biscuit and her special treat. And that's the time I have to encourage her to say the magic word. However, unlike me encouraging Grace to say please, no one ever has to encourage the heavens and the skies to say how great, how awesome, how glorious our God is. This is because David says, since the beginning of time, from day one, the heavens and the skies never or ever stopped declaring the glory of God and proclaiming the work of His mighty hands. Indeed, the creation clearly speaks to us today with a voice that can be heard from every corner of the world that they say God exists. They say God is in control. And they say God did not only create the heavens and the earth, but He also sustained them with His awesome power and glory. Yet, please notice that in the latter part of today's passage, in verses 7 to 11, David changes the subject. Now he is telling us not about God's creation, but about God's word, the scripture. David says, only the word of God can refresh, restore, and revive our souls. As it says in verse 7, saying, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Here, please notice that how David describes the perfection of God's word. He says in verse 7, the law and the statutes of the Lord are perfect and trustworthy. In verse 8, the judgment and the commands of the Lord are right and radiant. And in verse 9, the decrees of the Lord are firm and righteous. So here David is simply saying that we can completely rely on the word of God because the scripture is absolutely blameless. So David does not want us to go somewhere else to find the true spirituality. He does not want us to read another book to know who God is, but he wants us to go to the scripture to find the truth about who God is and his one and perfect plan to save his people. And David says, as we do that, it will refresh our souls in verse 7. It will give joy to our hearts in verse 8, and it will give light to our eyes in verse 9. And also, as we obey His command, we will be greatly rewarded in verse 11. So David is simply saying, the word of God is absolutely sufficient. In the Bible, we have everything we need for our life and salvation. Yet, as we know, some people may think differently to David. This is because they don't trust what the Bible says. And they don't believe that the Word of God provides sufficient knowledge of who God is and His plan for humanity. In fact, they don't think the Bible is perfect and blameless. So they would rather trust their own knowledge, philosophy, and experience for their life and salvation. So for them, the Bible is nothing more than an old book, a fairy tale, or a book of nice stories, traditions, and myths, which is not relevant to their life here on earth and beyond. However, David emphatically disagrees with them, because he believes the Bible is not just an old book, but it is the one and the only book which tells him everything about his intimate and unbroken relationship with his Heavenly Father. It is a document of God's amazing love, commitment and promise for him as well as his people like you and me. It is a document which tells David and also us how we can please our Father in our daily life. So in Psalm 1, David says, he delights in the scripture and he meditates on God's word day and night because it is refreshing his soul, delighting his heart, and lightening his path. It is a lamp to his feet all day and all night in every journey. So for him, the Bible is absolutely more precious than gold, and it tastes definitely sweeter than honey. As he says in verse 10, they are more precious than gold, than much more pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And in verses 12 to 14, we can see how David personally responds to God's word. As he reads and meditates the scripture, he recognizes his secret willful sins. This means he is enabled to see that he is not perfect, but a sinner before God. But through the same scripture, he can also see that God is his Lord, his rock, and his Redeemer, who can remove his sins as far as the east is from the west. So he asks God to forgive his sin and make him blameless with absolute confidence and assurance. As he says in verse 13, keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And this applies to us. When we read the scripture, sometimes it reveals our hidden and willful sins. In fact, it clearly tells us that no one is righteous and we all fall short of the glory of God. But the same scripture, the same message, the same Bible also clearly tells us the good news. God's saving grace that is perfectly expressed in his Son, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. So in him, we can confidently come to our Heavenly Father with absolute boldness and assurance that in him we are declared blameless. I used to go to a gym. I used to have a gym membership down the road, yes, at Macquarie Shopping Center, which gave me unlimited access to their facilities. And I paid for this membership because I needed to exercise. And at that time, I decided to go there at least 2 times per week. However, sometimes I just wanted to relax. I didn't want to be bothered going. But I'd rather watch a movie or spend time with my family. And when I was feeling like that, I always asked my wife, Sue, should I go to the gym? And then she said, yes, you should, because you paid for it. And she also said, if you go to the gym, you will be refreshed afterwards. And indeed, she was right. I went to the gym, and afterwards, my body and mind was refreshed. However, David says, if we want to refresh our souls and hearts, we should not go to our gym, but we should go to the scripture. This is because the Bible clearly tells us the gospel, the good news, God's amazing grace, that while we are sinners, our Lord, our Rock, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, died on the cross on our behalf, so that in Him we are forever God's family, and in Him we are forgiven once and for all. So let us read the Bible not as a cold legal document, but let us joyfully read and meditate on it day and night, as it clearly shows how much our Heavenly Father loves His children like you and me. Indeed, as David says, God's word is precious than the gold and sweeter than honey. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for every blessing that you have showered upon our lives. And we give you thanks for your holy word, which clearly tells us how much you love us through our Lord, our Rock, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray that you would help us to read and meditate on your word in our daily life, so that we will be reminded of your amazing love and grace, and also how to live as your children in everything we do and say, for your glory and honor. In His name we pray. Amen.